Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Thank you for tuning in to the Grace for This City podcast. I'm Justin, your host, and boy, we are helping you turn your city upside down. You say, how are we doing that? We're giving you biblical strategies and motivation so you can get out there and get stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. So thank you for tuning in today. Set your hearts in agreement with us that God's word will come forth. These words out of the scriptures will come alive and faith will come into your heart. And by the time this podcast is over, you're going to be in a totally different place. Remember, faith to faith, glory to glory. You've got a lot to do, friend. You're working for the King of Kings, and he's got a mission and an assignment. And there's still a lot of spiritual work to be done. So thank you for tuning in today. Hey, share the podcast with somebody. I don't know which avenue or which outlet you're listening to the podcast on, but I want you to know that we're on Podbean. You can download that. Google Podcast, Grace for This City podcast on Google Podcast. Of course, we're on Spotify, iTunes, apps for all of that. You can tune in and watch us live on Facebook or on our YouTube channel. There's a way for you to get this content and share it with somebody that you love. Maybe it's exactly what they need to hear today. Hey, I'm joined in the studio by a very special guest, my very lovely, fantastic wife, Miranda.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you for being on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I love having you. Hallelujah. The Lord has blessed me with you.
Praise God.
Hey, well, we have a great episode planned today. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about what the Lord is doing in you and, in both of us. But, you know, there's something very special, very unique that you're carrying. And so we just want to get it out there, strengthen people and encourage them. So without any further ado, we'll jump right down into this today. Miranda, why don't you set up the podcast? What does the Lord put on your heart?
Well, when you said is it teaching you or showing you how to turn your city upside down?
We're helping you turn your
helping
city
upside down. I was like, man, there's some cities being turned upside down right now. But it ain't for the kingdom if you're paying attention to the news.
Yeah.
They're literally turned upside down. Everything that everybody's ever known in these cities being twisted. You know, just even the way that the city is run, the laws. I've even heard street signs being renamed. Potentially, people trying to do that. I mean, yeah. I've just heard things in passing. But you might be feeling that. Maybe you're in one of these cities, or maybe you're just hearing reports of this for other cities, and you just might be feeling like, what is going on? And you're thinking, what can I do? You know, just going to my job every day, or staying at home with my kids, or sitting in my rocking chair. What can I do? These cities are being turned upside down by the enemy. What can the believer do? Just the average believer. No believer is average, but just the person who believes God, trusts in the Lord. What can I do? And the scripture gives us just some really basic advice. And it's found in Jude 1:20. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic, because I think it says it so well. And the Lord's really just had Justin and I on this for, I don't know, maybe a few weeks. And I mean, we've been on it all of our lives, actually. And maybe I'll go into that some. But here, especially in the last few weeks, as we've encountered resistance to the things that God's called us to do, and we've been like, we got to know what we need to apply more pressure to these things that are hindering us. More pressure needs to be applied. And Jude 1:20, there's only one chapter in Jude, and it says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. By what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Spirit. So simple. Anybody can do it. A little baby can do it. Probably little babies do it all the time when they're saying, goo, goo, gaga. And an elderly person, someone in a nursing home can do this, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. And what the Lord has been showing us is when there's a resistance, then there's got to be a counterattack. You know, the scripture says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Well, what we've learned is that it's not that, it's that the church is aggressively advancing against the gates of hell,
right,
and they cannot withstand the power that is released.
Yeah. Gates would be a defensive measure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because even though the kingdom of hell does actively, aggressively try to take more ground illegally on a regular basis, as you see in your cities, these cities that are being turned upside down. So what does God, what is Jesus, the high priest, whoever lives to make intercession, what does he need from a United States citizen who's filled with the Holy Ghost right now? What does he need for his kingdom? He needs you to pray in the spirit and release power that will overthrow what the enemy has been trying to do, the chaos that has been unleashed. That reminds me of another scripture, James.
Okay.
The fervent, effectual, maybe I should look it up in the AMP.
Yeah, the Amplified, James 5:16.
Thank you.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah.
So he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The kingdom is advancing. Like we have a forward, progressive, you know, moving. It's not static. It's not stale. The kingdom is progressing. It's moving. It's advancing. You know, it uses language. The Bible uses language like an army. You know, we are taking ground. We're going into territories that's been hidden and covered by darkness, carrying the light, dispelling light. So that's where that kind of that defensive connotation that I was talking about is, they may establish gates or they may establish access points in certain territories, but when the kingdom of heaven comes in and we are raising the standard, we are establishing the light, those defensive measures cannot withstand the force of the kingdom.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that is confirmed right here in James 5:16.
Yeah, I like this.
Actually halfway through 5:16. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available.
That's
dynamic
it.
In its working. And last night when we were having prayer here at our church, frequently in prayer, the Lord has shown me the different people that are sitting out in the prayer group or prayer room or whatever, and he's shown me that they're like diffusers. They're temples. Every believer is a temple. And I don't have the scripture for this, I think it's in Ezekiel, is every temple has a river. And I mean, even Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers. Well, one time he was showing me that this was like, you know, those diffusers you buy, you put your little essential oils in there.
Yeah.
They were like diffusing this fragrance. As Paul talks about too, that everywhere we go, we diffuse. And that word is used in one of the translations. We diffuse his fragrance. Well, we were praying last night and I didn't see a diffuser. What I saw was like an industrial grade commercial air purifier, just like regional air purification. There was power being released for a city, for a region, for a nation. Demonic things just being bound up, unable to operate, stymied.
What was the Lord showing us in that is the air purification, you know, the powers and principalities, the rulers in the airwaves.
Yeah.
You know, these are the influencing forces. Even though they're unseen, doesn't mean they're not real. There's an unseen realm. It's the spirit realm. And that realm is influencing, quote, behind the scenes, if you will. And that's what's going on in the air or up in the heavens. There's a influence. But the Lord was basically showing us, hey, You can clear this up. You can clean this out.
Yeah.
You can in a particular area, territory, a region, you can reclaim air superiority.
Mm. Ooh, that's good. Air superiority.
Air superiority. Hallelujah. But we've got to come up, right? We've got to come up. We've got to be built up. We've got to realize that our point of impact is not below. We are above. Mm. Remember that?
Yeah.
We're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. Woo-hoo. Okay. When he raised Christ from the dead, he placed him, seated him, head over all things to the church, but then over all principalities, powers, might, and dominions, and every name that's named, both in the heavens and in the earth. But we've got to take our place, our seat with him, and be intentional about this, not passive.
Yeah.
Passivity is not getting anything done. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's just not, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. If you take that attitude, friend, if your paradigm is, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, well, then bad stuff is going to happen because you, the watchman, is not watching. You are not paying attention, and you are letting wolves in unnecessary. You are letting predators in on your watch when they don't have to be. You know, he's given us weapons for what? For keeping the darkness at bay, to stymie mm-hmm. them, to stymie it. Mm-hmm. To push against those gates, those access points, the point of entry that these demonic spirits and forces have in a particular area or in a situation or in a person's life or whatever. Now, we did a podcast several weeks ago that we don't have authority over people's wills. We have authority over demonic forces and influences behind the scenes. And so this is what we're talking about, is getting in this place to where you are built up. You are strengthened. You are encouraged. Your eyesight, your point of perspective and point of entry is such that you are the offensive move mm-hmm. right now. You are God's offensive play, not his defensive plan. And I don't know, you know, what your situation is, what city, what state, what nation you're listening to this podcast from, but you are God's offensive plan. You. And this is why in Ephesians 6, he says, suit up, brother. Suit up, sister. Hmm. Get off the couch, potato, and get in the game. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Well, the good thing about praying in tongues is you can do it on the couch, and that's probably really a good thing for some of us.
Well, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's clarify here.
But what
here.
You mean is get started.
Get,
you know,
get
even
going.
If you aren't, yes, absolutely.
Get suited up.
Yeah.
Now, you said something, you know, if you're just the average believer. Well, you know, what you're thinking, not you, but I mean the listener, what y'all are thinking is, what we mean by average is you don't think you're useful because you don't have a platform. That's a lie. Mm, you don't think that you are doing anything because you don't have a podcast. That's a lie. Mm. You know, you're not doing anything because you don't, quote, lead a church or a ministry. You know, you're just a normal person. That's not that, dude. That is a lie, and this is why there are so many AWOL people in the army of the Lord, because they have defined that my usefulness is because I have an audience or I have a following or, you know, I have 1,000 likes on Facebook. That's garbage. Facebook seems to be going down the tubes every day. All the censoring and the politics and all that kind of stuff that's going on Facebook. You don't need Facebook to be useful. Hello, you don't need Twitter to be useful. There is no time or distance in the spirit. Now, you got to get off the proverbial couch in this sense. You cannot just be lazy. You cannot be silent. One of the weapons of our warfare is your mouth.
Yes.
It is the sword of the spirit. It is the word of the Lord. And you have armor. You can suit up. You can go to battle right there in your living room. You can go to battle walking around your house. You can go to battle in your bathroom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the shower in the morning. Take Ooh. Out some spiritual strongholds Shaka. For the
Hallelujah.
Day, for your family. So what we're talking about is you are a spirit being, and there is how things work in the spirit, and the Lord is telling you to get in your place. Stop being AWOL and stay up with him. How do you stay up with him? How do you keep up with him? You keep up and stay up with the general of heaven's armies, the head of the church, by staying up and keeping up with him in prayer. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And what we're going to talk about a little bit today, at least, is getting yourself built up and strengthened to that point to where you're useful.
Yes.
Listen, there is and I put out the clarion call right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, the APB for the intercessors. Ooh. Those to get off, get out of delusion and get into your place, your rank. Remember what it was said about David's mighty men? They knew their rank, yeah, meaning they knew they're called here, you stand here, you fight here, you have this tool, this weapon. Now show up for duty. And so we're putting the clarion call out right now in the name of Jesus. God is calling you into your place. He's calling you into your place. He's awakening your place in the body. He's giving you eyes to see and ears to hear how powerful you are right there in your car, in your home, in your office, wherever you're at. How powerful you are, how menacing you are to the forces of darkness because you carry the light. Jesus said, you are the light. You are the light. Now stop being hidden. Stop being hidden. Stop hiding. Get that bushel off your head. Fill it with apples or something. A bushel full of apples. Get it off your head. Get it off your life. Get that bushel off your home in the name of Jesus. Strip that away. Put on your armor. Suck it up, soldier,
yeah,
in the name of Jesus, and get in your place. Hallelujah.
Mm.
In the name of Jesus.
And it's just real easy. It starts right here.
That's it.
It might be in the soul. It just feels so dry.
Am I doing anything?
Bubble, bubble, bubble. Just bubble, 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 bubble up. And the next thing you know, you got a pot of boiling water on your hands. You just keep that little bubble going, bubble, bubble. You know, it takes a while for some of us. And, I mean, some of us are Instapot. Some of us are Crock-Pots.
Some are Crock-Pots. Some are Instapot.
But, you know, you just get that little bubble going.
Some people smoke pot. You need to stop it.
Oop, here we go.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's not where your spiritual power comes from.
No, it don't.
That connects you to a whole nother realm.
There was this minister had invited Apostle Mark Barclay to speak at his church. And Mark was in the green room before the service. And he's a Vietnam veteran. And just a mighty, mighty man of God. Mark Barclay, look him up. Anyways, he was in there praying before the service. He's like, what's that smell? He's like, that smells like pot. That smells like marijuana. He said, I was in Vietnam. I know exactly what it smells like. And so he calls for the pastor. He says, and the pastor comes into the green room. This is a big church. I mean, this is a mega church. And he said, "What? Why do I smell pot? Why do I smell marijuana?" He's asking the pastor this. And the pastor just hung his head. And Mark Barclay was like, what's up? And the pastor said, well, before I minister, I smoke a little pot. I smoke some marijuana before I minister. And he told Mark Barclay, he said that he did that because it helps him to revelate. And Mark Barclay said, it's not revelate, stupid, it's hallucinate. And he said, who are your elders? And, dude, he was not playing around. Listen, friend, that pot does not help you revelate. You are going to get off into familiar spirit land, and you may see some stuff, but it's going to be from the demonic realm. Mm-hmm. So hallelujah. If you're going to be any kind of pot, be an Instapot.
In the name of Jesus. And heat up quick in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and release some dunamis power in the spirit.
Listen, get off all them stinking drugs in the name of Jesus. Yeah. This is for somebody. Get off of them right now. Get off of them. Stop it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to help you. Number one, he's going to clear out your emotions. Number two, he's going to clear out your physical body, all that chemical imbalance that you think that stuff is straightening out. It's not.
Mm.
In the name of Jesus, we just release the healing power of God in your body right now, in Jesus' name. You stop making excuses for that right now. And just repent of it. Now listen, God's going to get you. God can open up the spirit realm to you in a pure way that keeps the demonic realm out of your life and out of your head in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. You mentioned earlier people feeling like they don't have a platform. And I thought, well, that's what the enemy wants to keep you thinking. But here's your platform right here. Ephesians 1:20. Ephesians 1. Here's your platform. I'm just kind of going to start in the middle of the verse. God raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Listen to where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one and that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now I'm going to jump over to chapter 2, verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is a platform right there. Far above all principality and power, mind, dominion, every name that is named. There's your platform.
There it is.
You just got to go there in the spirit. When you wake up, walking around the house, put your shoes on.
Listen, you learn to be obedient in that place. And then should the Lord will, he'll connect you with people that will hook up with what you're doing. But if you don't think you're effective until you've got somebody in the natural looking at you, listening to you, clapping for you, you may have your priorities messed up. So we're calling right now to that deep thing in you, deep calls unto deep. And he's enlisting his soldiers right now to be a mouthpiece for him in the earth. Hallelujah.
I was thinking about one time in prayer, we were praying for the Kavanaugh hearings. And just giving a little example. And we started in the spirit, and then it started to boil. You know, we started to heat up. Hallelujah. It started to get loud and aggressive in the spirit. And this happens for a lot of people I know. But we were praying, and all of a sudden this word started coming out. And I'm like, what is this word? And as we began to just in the spirit, you say it, stymied. And it was like, well, that's just a word, you know, but there was supernatural power on that word. It was coming from the spirit, from the Holy Ghost, giving us that word to use in the spirit in prayer. And we just, I mean, I know thousands were praying for those Kavanaugh hearings, but we were doing our part too. And our part was stymied. And, you know, the Lord took care of that situation.
Well, I just looked up the definition, and stymied means to prevent or hinder the progress of. And so in the spirit, the Holy Ghost knew exactly what word needed to be said. And stymied was the word.
Yeah.
It came out in the spirit. And that was releasing the command that the angels could pursue that would put a stop and prevent any further progress of what the enemy was doing.
The key is it's got to be in the spirit. This is what we've been learning. And you recognize, you said this recently, you'll recognize, you can sense where it's coming from. You can sense, is it like, I'm trying to work this up. I'm trying to think about from all my education, all the words that I know, my whole vocabulary, what word could I? No, it's not going to come. It's going to bubble up from your spirit. And many times it might be a word that you don't use. There was a word that came up in prayer one time, surveillance. Like, I don't use that word. And many others have had, you know, experiences like that. But this, it comes up from the spirit. When it comes from the spirit, it's got that dunamis power on it. Yep. And in the spirit, you don't see it working, but it's going in there and it's binding up devils. And it's releasing power for things to be opened up for people to see. And it's silencing the voice of the enemy and slandering lying tongues. Hallelujah.
Let's briefly, real quick, since you touched on it, let's encourage the listeners right now that when we're in prayer, especially when we're praying in tongues, when we're praying with and in the Holy Ghost, it's very important that, like you said, we want to stay focused. We don't want to be distracted. But when something lights up on our mind, it's important to discern or recognize where that's coming from, because the enemy's throwing things at you all the time. By the way, fiery he's throwing fiery darts, words. He's throwing words at you all the time. Why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And if the enemy can influence you to say something death-related, that's what he's going to do. Of course, the Holy Ghost is working with us to speak life. But when you're praying, and in our prayer meeting last night, I had opened and encouraged everybody with this, is to just be aware. Be aware of where things are lighting up on your mind. What direction are they coming from? Now, this is not a hard and fast rule, okay? I'm just giving you something to meditate on, consider. But if something lights up on your mind or comes into your mind that seems like it's from outside and just comes straight to your mind. Now, you're only able to hear me, those of you who are just listening to the audio podcast. But if you're watching me now, what I'm talking about is from the outside in, like this. A thought comes into your mind like an arrow, like it's just shot right into your mind. You got to watch those. Most of the time, that's not going to be from the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is within. And so when you get unction from the Holy Ghost, for me and for a lot of people that I've talked to, it seems like it comes from, you know, my inner man, like my belly, like down from the core, and lights up on my mind. It's like it comes up and lights up on my mind. Now, if something comes from like outside, like to my left or to my right, say, you know, I'm trying to frame this in natural terms, but if it comes from my left or my right or front or above or behind, and it like just pierces into my mind, that could be a distraction. Could be the flesh, could be my mind, could be demonic strategy against me to get me to think on something else or be confused. But the Holy Ghost, most of the time, he's in your inner man, in your inwardmost parts. You know, the King James calls it the bowels, okay? So that's why it kind of seems like it's from your core. It's from your stomach area, you know, deep within. And the Holy Ghost is residing on the inside of you, and it lights up on your mind. It's revelation. It's light. That's why we say it lights up on your mind, because it's from the realm of light. It's information. It's revelation. It is the Holy Ghost giving you something. Those are the words in particular, phrases, statements, decrees, commands. Those are the ones you want to pay a close attention to, because it's not by might, that's man's might.
Yeah.
It's not by power, that's man's ability, but by my spirit.
Hallelujah.
So Miranda could just make up a word and have no power.
But
that word that come up from within, lit up on your mind by way of the Holy Ghost, has power on it. I mean, that right there shifts the heavens. That will move something in the natural realm. You could say 1,000 words that you just made up. You could open up a dictionary and just start spouting words, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be effectual. So when you're praying in tongues, pay close attention to the phrases or the words, individual words or phrases or statements that come up from within your belly and light up on your mind. Maybe you can write those down. In fact, we practiced this last night. We had, you know, several people, and I said, look, we're going to pray in tongues for 20 minutes. We're not going to be distracted. We're not going to lay down. We're you know, this isn't soak time. This isn't worship time. This isn't praise time. This is praying in the Holy Ghost time. So don't get distracted. You know, stay focused. We're going to pray in tongues, and then we're going to listen for what the Holy Ghost is doing. Because Romans 8 says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, so the Holy Ghost, he takes up with us. He grabs together with us. He begins to pray with us because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And so what happened is when we were done with that, I said, all right, tell me what you heard. And so amazing. So we took a list, and this person had a word or this person had a phrase, and we put it all together, and the Holy Ghost, we saw a full picture of what we were praying out together, because they wrote down, or they paid attention to that which the Holy Ghost was lighting upon their mind. And it was like a puzzle. Everybody had a little piece of this puzzle, and when we were done with this exercise, we were able to put all these pieces together, and we saw something that the Lord was praying. His will was being revealed concerning our church in a very vivid way, and we got that picture. We prayed that out. And then once we got what was going on in the natural, then we were able to make a decree and release our faith in what the Holy Ghost was saying. All right, what do you got?
Well, I was just thinking about, we were talking about the gates earlier and Jericho, the city of Jericho, and Joshua chapter 6, 1 says Jericho was securely shut up. No one went out, no one came in. And it was like that because Israel was such a threat. They were so scared of Israel. And how the kingdom of darkness is like this. It's just locked. And it's got people locked up inside. And it's got provision locked up inside, holding it back from God's people many times. It's got answers locked up inside, trying to keep it away from God's people. But God had already told them that Jericho was theirs. And I was remembering a situation, and this has been several years ago, probably maybe 7, 8 years ago or more. And we had been praying in the Spirit together. I think it was like every morning before we would go to work, we would just get together with our we were youth pastors then, with our staff, and just pray in the Spirit. And one morning it was just Justin and I praying in the Spirit, and I was praying in tongues, but he began to release a prayer, and the Lord brought up the fact that there was a huge debt on our facility at that time, on our church, and it was quite a bit. And we had that debt for some time. I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
And we were just praying together about it. And I mean, our founding pastor had also been praying about it too. The church had been praying about it, but the Lord just brought it up during that prayer time for he and I. And after he released that prayer, in the Spirit, this is the first time this ever happened to me. In the Spirit, immediately, it was like I was standing at Jericho, and what I heard was this. I heard a silence, just like, And the Lord said to me, "That's the silent before the wall crumbles." And I was like, "That's what is that?" And it's like he was telling us right where we were at. Didn't look like anything was happening, but we had done what he told us to do. They did what he told them to do, march around that wall and then blow. See, they released a sound, is what they did. They released a sound in the Spirit. And then that wall came crumbling. And it was just shortly after that, somebody came and paid that whole debt off. Shortly after that.
Yeah.
So we were in that moment right between the sound being released and boom, the walls falling.
Now, we didn't wake up one day and said, "Yep, yeah, you know, we're going to make up something and poof, that debt's going to be gone."
Yeah.
It was under the unction of the Holy Ghost. We yielded to that. And see, you know, we're not making stuff up in prayer.
Right.
We are yielding to the head of the church, Jesus. Why? Because he forever makes intercession. Our intercession is because he's interceding. And so when he knows exactly time and place, time and place, time and place, and time is an interesting word, but what I'm talking about in our sense of referencing, he knows exactly what needs to be said when. And it's in those moments, like you yielded to that morning. It came up. It was on the Holy Ghost's agenda.
Yeah, that day.
That day. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was yesterday, but we heard it that day. But you understand what I'm saying? Like we connected with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we didn't know how to pray.
Yeah.
We didn't know how to pray for what we ought or how we ought. And that's why it's important that in these moments, really give yourself to praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Give yourself to praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Did we ever get to James 5?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay, yeah, good.
Tremendous power available.
It makes power available. So now I don't know, you know, who you are is listening, but what we're encouraging you in is the work of the kingdom is not just being accomplished by the preacher on the Sunday morning in his little 22-minute sermonette. There is loads of work that is getting done, but more could get done when you enlist and partner with Holy Ghost, giving yourself to praying. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Glory to God.
What you got?
Well, you know, you're just talking about giving yourself to that. How do we do that? And this is Brother Hagen, Brother Kenneth Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen, and he has a book called, or he had put a book in print called Tongues Beyond the Upper Room.
Phenomenal book.
Yes. And in chapter 11, he talks about tongues, a means of spiritual edification. And so back to Jude 1:20, he's going to touch on that here in a little bit, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. So I'll just read a little bit here. Chapter 11, page 159 in this book, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. In writing to the church at Corinth and other churches where he preached, Paul encouraged believers to continue to speak with other tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, Paul explained why praying this way is so vital. Tongues is the divine means, divine, of spiritual edification. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, builds himself up. And then Paul encouraged the Corinthian believers to continue the practice of speaking with other tongues in their private worship and in their prayer life as a means of spiritual edification. And studying along this line, I noted a number of years ago what Greek scholars tell us about the word edify. They say we have a word in our modern vernacular that is closer to the original Greek meaning that word is charge. The word charge is often used in connection with a battery. The battery in an automobile runs down, we hook it up to a power source and charge it up. In other words, we build up the battery until it has the power to do what it was made to do. So we paraphrase 1 Corinthians 14:4 like this. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up, or charges himself up like a battery. In other words, as we pray in tongues, we are charging up our spirits by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word edification isn't talking about mental or physical edification. This is a verse talking about a wonderful supernatural means of spiritual edification. Wow. And it is available to every single believer. Of course, whatever edifies or builds up a person spiritually will also help him mentally and physically. Paul knew something about the fact that speaking in tongues charges us up and strengthens a believer. After all, he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. That's 1 Corinthians 14:18. In other words, Paul was saying, I build myself up and charge myself like a battery by speaking in tongues more than all of you do. And so Brother Hagen goes on to say, I want to get more than one scriptural witness. So let's look at what Jude said. We've already talked about this. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. If your spiritual battery runs down, this scripture tells you how to get it charged. You pray in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. Notice that phrase, building up yourselves. When you pray in tongues, are you building up your neighbor? No. Are you building up your fellow Christian? No. Tongues are a dynamic means of spiritual edification that works for you.
Wow. Wow. So step one is give yourself to praying in the Holy Ghost, because you are not just a body and you are not just a soul. You are a spirit that has a soul.
Yeah.
And lives in a body. And we said this last night as we were just encouraging our intercessors and helping to speak into them and grow them, mature them, is we said this, our services, Grace City Church, Ren and I pastor Grace City Church in Harrison, Arkansas, and though our services are 2.5 hours, at times they even extend out to 3 hours depending on what the Holy Ghost is doing, and people have mocked us, laughed at us. They choke at that. They're afraid of that, some of them. But, you know, you have to build yourself up to endure certain things. Of course, you know, people can watch a 2.5 hour movie, no problem.
Ball game,
football game. You know, they're 3 hours long. But we digress. but what we're talking about is we are helping people to develop themselves to endure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Not to be immature or weak in the things of the Lord. But we said this, that while our people have been developed to be able to worship the Lord and to be able to fellowship together and to flow in the Holy Ghost and to receive a meaty word that would take in the natural anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, mm-hmm. they're developed to where their appetites, they hunger for more than just 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. But yet that development is spiritual, but a lot of it's on the natural side too, that you're self-controlled, you're patient, you're not in a hurry. You know, they've had to adjust things in their life. You know, don't put the stew to be done or need attention at 11:45. We're not out of church yet, you know? So there's been some natural priority development going on. But then we said last night, we are going to set a target. Now, these aren't hard and fast rules, okay? But to just give us some goals, give us some waypoints that we can measure our development. And we said this, that one target we're going to set to measure our spiritual endurance and our spiritual maturity is going to be, can we pray in tongues for an hour solid with no distractions? Okay, well, we did an exercise, and, you know, several people were starting to run out of steam at 15 minutes. Okay, and so we had to make a distinction. Look, y'all have developed yourself. Recognize this. You've developed yourself to be able to worship the Lord. You bring your offerings. We fellowship. We flow in the Holy Ghost. That we receive a message that's usually an hour long at least. But see, that natural development does not automatically translate that you're spiritually strong. So you have to focus on, you have to be intentional about developing your spiritual man. A lot of people have put their flesh under in some areas and in some ways, but are you spiritually developing into a mature spirit being? One way to do that, and this is why we're putting these markers or these waypoints or these goals to by which we could determine some measurement here. Are we spiritually developing? What is the Bible telling us? One way, one powerful way, one dynamic way, one very important way, maybe even the first priority to consider is praying in tongues. Hallelujah. It builds your spirit man.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
It will build it. Listen, just going to church and sitting there for an hour and a half, just going to a service, even a special service, and sitting there for 2 hours may not be developing your inner man the way you think it is. You've developed your natural man. You've developed patience. You've developed your attention span. Okay, but have you and are you really putting your spirit man to task, getting him developed and built up where you can endure spiritual things? Hallelujah. Listen, we are coming into very interesting days, folks.
Yeah.
And if you think you're going to last and make it and be strong by these little 22-minute blips here and there, but you're in a hurry because you've got a four-hour ball game that you're on the way to, or you've got a two-hour movie waiting on you at home, but you can't pray in tongues for 20 minutes with no distractions, I'm just telling you right now, God wants your spirit man to be strong and develop strong. You need to build your spirit man.
That's good. Yeah. There's a little bit more here. He gives us an example of this, of what we're talking about, how to build yourself up. He says, when I first read that the word edifies, and this is Brother Kenneth Hagin, the word edifies carries the meaning of charging yourself up like a battery. I realized that in the past I've been praying without really understanding everything I was doing. I had charged myself up by praying in the Holy Ghost without knowing altogether what God's word said about it. I just knew it was right to do it. But as I look back, I realize that before all of my greatest experiences in God, and he had some pretty amazing experiences.
That's an important statement.
Yeah. Before the most spectacular healings, the most supernatural financial miracles, or the most outstanding experiences of casting out demons, I always seem to be led to set aside time by myself to pray in tongues. You see, that's awesome, isn't it? You see, the Lord knows what is ahead of you. You don't know what is out there, but he does. And so he shares an example. I'm going to kind of make it a short one. I remember a particular example that happened on the first Saturday of May 1943 when my wife and I were pastors of a little full gospel church in the Blacklands of North Central Texas. Aretha and I had nothing planned that day except getting ready for the Sunday services. As was our custom, I washed the dishes and cleaned the kitchen while Aretha made the beds and cleaned the bedrooms. As I went about my normal chores that morning, some way or another, I just couldn't get away from speaking in other tongues. I didn't pray loudly. I just stood washing dishes and praying quietly in other tongues. Then I went over to the church next door to make sure everything was in order. I went over to check everything out and to clean what still needed to be cleaned. And while I did that, I kept on praying in tongues. After I was satisfied that the church was ready for Sunday service, I stayed at the church another hour. I walked up and down the aisles of the church praying in tongues and knelt at the altar and prayed in tongues. I purposely stayed at the church longer than usual so I could put some extra time in praying in other tongues. Then I went to the post office to get our mail. Since it was springtime, I decided to walk through the city park to the post office, praying quietly in tongues all the way. When I arrived at the post office, I had to wait in the lobby for a while until all the mail had been put in everyone's boxes. As I stood there waiting with several other men, I continued to pray under my breath in tongues. That's what's so wonderful about praying in other tongues. If you're around others, you don't have to pray loud at all. No matter how quietly you speak to the Lord, He hears you. Finally, I got my mail. Then on the way back to the parsonage, I continued to pray in tongues. I would say that from 8 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon, I was praying in other tongues, 90% of the time for almost 6 hours. But except for the extra hour I spent praying in church, I didn't stop doing the things I had to do. That's the key. I didn't stop doing the things I had to do there. As I prayed, it seemed like there was a great big spring on the inside of me. And the more I prayed in tongues, the tighter that spring wound up. And that's a good way to explain that sensation that you get. Not a sensation, but yeah. that what you sense. I didn't know a whole lot about the purpose of tongues back then, but I sensed that I was building myself up. I was charging my spiritual battery. I said to myself, God must be getting me ready for the service tomorrow. I guess we're going to have a real stem winder on Sunday. I meant that the service was going to be a good one. But then about 2:30 that afternoon, Aretha and I had unexpected visitors. A lady brought her sister to our home, and this sister was an inmate of a Texas mental institution. She'd been there for 2.5 years in solitary confinement because she was violently insane, trying to kill herself. And wow. She was considered dangerous to herself and others. And so this lady was in his home. And I'm just going to shorten it because he goes on to talk about everything that happened. But he said that the insane woman was perfectly delivered that day. The doctors ran all the tests, pronounced her well, and sent her home for good. And she had an attack, like right in front of him, like she fell on the floor, that kind of a thing. He says, the point I want to make with this account is this. The Holy Spirit got me ready for my encounter with this insane woman by prompting me to pray in tongues more than usual. I really didn't understand what was happening at the time, but now I can look back and realize that He was preparing me for what was to come. Holy Spirit didn't know what was coming. The Holy Spirit knew what was coming, even if I didn't. He knew I needed to utilize the divine means of spiritual edification He provided for me through praying in tongues.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Just at the post office.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Making power available. Somebody said this once, that praying in the Holy Ghost builds an edifice on the inside of your spirit man into which revelation knowledge can come, or into which power, dunamis power, that kind of like charging or winding that spring.
Yeah.
And when you encounter the situation that's mm-hmm. been prayed out ahead of time, power is being made available. And when you encounter that situation, it's going to like just spring forth. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, in the last moments of our podcast, we just want to encourage you to build yourself up. Listen, friend, you're going to need to be strong in this time. Navigating the terrain that is ahead of us, you are going to need to be strong. Many years ago, the Lord began to speak to my heart prophetically concerning a situation that would impact our church. But then also, I see it now that it was a prophetic word for the church. But the Lord said that the terrain or the journey or the remaining of the course ahead of us isn't going to be like NASCAR. You know, and what is NASCAR? It's very smooth. It's circular. You can anticipate your turns. But He said it's not going to be NASCAR. It's going to be Baja. And, of course, He was using the metaphor and the analogy to get me to understand and our people to understand what was going to be ahead of us. Baja is unpredictable terrain. Obviously, it's not like a NASCAR. If you understand Baja, you know, the Baja 1000, they race across the deserts and all kinds of crazy terrain, rocks, hills, you know, sand. And it's very unpredictable terrain. But listen, that's where we're headed now. This last bit of the journey for the church, as we bring it to a close, as we bring the finish in, it's very interesting terrain. But if you will stay strong, if you will stay built up, you will be able to navigate these days without an issue. And in 1 John chapter 2, we realize that we're coming into a time, the time of the Antichrist. And the stage is being set. The global agenda, the end time doctrine of the Antichrist is being rolled out literally before our eyes. Just listen to the media. The media is the mouthpiece of the false prophet, okay? And it's beginning to lay out the doctrine to the nations in order to set the stage for the Antichrist. I know it sounds scary. Ooh, ooh. Well, you know what? Nothing to be afraid of. But if we're going to navigate these times, if we're going to navigate the terrain into which we have entered, okay, then we're going to have and know the Holy Ghost. And I want to read something to you in 1 John chapter 2. Praise the Lord, my Bible here is falling apart. He says, and we enter into this picture, and he's telling us, you know you have entered into the last days. How do we know? He said, little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. He's not come yet, but he's coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. And then he goes on to say this. Okay, goes on, chapter 2, he's telling us about this, chapter 3, chapter 4, but there's something in chapter 2, verse 20. And I'm going to paraphrase, but in order to navigate these days, these are days of great deception, that even the elite might even be deceived. I mean, the enemy's after it. I mean, the deception game is turned up to 11, okay? You know, we knew that the wheat and the tares would be maturing at some point. And on that side of it, there is demonic activity like never seen before. Why? Because, you know, in essence, they're reaching a state of operation that is more mature, if you will, than it's ever been. How are you going to navigate those days? Evil men and seducers, enchanters, sorcerers, waxing great and growing worse. How are you going to navigate those days? How are you going to know? How are you going to test the spirits? How are you going to be able to discern between what's true and what's error? Right here, you have an unction, it says.
Yeah.
From what? The Holy One or the Holy Ghost. Mm. And you know all things. Listen, friend, these are eyes, these are ears. This is spiritual discernment that come by way of the Holy Spirit, but a strong human spirit, able to receive the unction and the impulse and the direction and the revelation of the Holy Ghost. And if you're not strong, if you're not built up, you're going to have a hard time navigating. Deception will move you. But if you're strong in the Holy Ghost, if you're strong, if your spirit man, your human spirit, the real you, if you are built up and strong, you will navigate without an issue. You will know which way you are to go. You will know what you are to do. You will know exactly between the fake and the real. Your ears, spiritual ears, will be able to discern the false from the true and the true from the false. So listen, nothing to be afraid of, but by way of the Holy Ghost right now, listen to what's being shared with you. Listen to the strategy and the motivation coming to you today to be strong, to be built up, to give yourself to praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You got any closing thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking about, we had a prayer meeting a couple weeks ago, and when more people get together and pray in tongues together, that's a whole nother ball game. Maybe we can talk about that sometime, the corporate anointing that comes on a group. And we're just learning. We'll just, you know, share with you what the Lord's showing us. But there were three of us in the room praying in the Spirit, and there was a new lady that had come, and she was just releasing her supplies. She was a seasoned prayer. And as we joined together and began to pray, I saw a picture of two oxen with a yoke, and they were plowing. And it was like, as we were praying, the oxen were becoming supercharged. And I don't know what they turned into, because I don't know what is like the modern day plow, but it's like they became this heavy industrial grade plow in the Spirit.
Wow.
And the Lord just confirmed that word, that we were generating power, making tremendous power available. So, you know, during these times, you know, what's going on? You know, in maybe you might want to consider getting a prayer partner, getting a prayer buddy, or if there's a prayer meeting at your church, getting involved.
And if there's not one,
starting it.
Start one.
Yeah. And just getting in there and flowing and combining your river, your flowing river, with other flowing rivers so that more power can be synergy. Made available. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, synergy.
Synergy.
For sure.
So you say, well, I don't know if I could start a prayer meeting. I don't have anything to say. We're not asking you to say anything. We're asking you to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And they go, wait, you mean we just get together and pray? Listen, if you'll get together and set some measurable goals, like we're going to pray in tongues. We're not going to lay on the floor and soak. That's not what this meeting is. Have a soaking meeting. But this one, we're going to get here and together, we're going to pray out loud where you can hear yourself. That's good. That's good practice. I'm not saying it's necessary because you can't always pray
out
loud everywhere.
Well, in a prayer meeting,
but
for
in
sure.
a prayer meeting, you need to pray loud enough where you can hear yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe where other people can hear you too. Right. But pray, set a target. Maybe it's 10 minutes. Maybe it's 15 minutes. Maybe it's 30 minutes, but we're going to pray in tongues and we're not going to get distracted. We are going to pray in tongues for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and then we're going to listen with the ears of our heart or with the eyes of our heart. We're going to see if the Holy Spirit says a word, a phrase, or gives us a picture, and at the end, we're going to share the insights that we have and see if the Holy Ghost said anything to us. And if he doesn't, that's fine. But you can begin by developing and maturing the prayers by getting together, setting some measurable targets. We're going to pray in tongues for 20 minutes, no distractions. We're not going to pray in English. We're going to pray in tongues. We're not going to stop and talk. We're going to pray in tongues. We're not going to sit down and fall asleep. We're going to pray in tongues. And if you have to get up and walk, get up and walk.
Yeah.
But we're going to pray in tongues. That's a great beginning right there.
And we've been doing this with our kids. We've been setting goals like, okay, we're going to do it for 3 minutes. And it's really challenging for them because there's a couple of them. They only have like one word that the Lord's given them in the spirit. I'm like, we're going to be faithful with that one word and just say it over and over. And pretty soon the dam's going to break and you're going to have more flowing out. And then in our prayer meeting last night, while we were praying in the spirit and when we took note of the things the Lord was showing us, we just happened to glance around and some of the kids that were in the meeting with us they've been building with these little blocks or whatever puzzle looking blocks. And they had built things that looked exactly like or went along with the word.
Yeah, there was three of them.
Yeah. So we had said see, and one of the kids had built some big old glasses.
Yeah.
And then someone had said a wheel within a wheel. And then one of the kids had built this thing. It had like three or four wheels.
Within a wheel.
Within a wheel. And they're just playing. You know, they don't know. They're playing in the spirit. Hallelujah.
They were just playing, but yet being maneuvered by the Holy Ghost in that atmosphere to build what we were praying out in the spirit. By the way, we were praying in tongues, so we didn't know what all this was till afterwards. But yet, so that was very demonstrative, very vivid, the Holy Ghost showing us that. Yeah. But yet, literally, it was outworking. You say, well, that's for you. Listen, friend, I want to tell you that how things work in the spirit. When somebody discovers how things work in the spirit, you need to take it and run with that. Mm-hmm. It's not just native to them. Mm-hmm. They just discovered that something's been revealed now that can be shared with everybody, how things work in the spirit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So Hallelujah. We just want to encourage you.
Yeah, and just look for those things. Sometimes we just get so busy and we haven't been paying attention that we don't recognize that was spiritual. Oh, they're just building. You know, no, they were under the unction of the spirit building those things.
Yeah.
And so what might help you, you might need some encouragement. You might need to say, Lord, show me what my praying in tongues did today. You know, show me, just reveal to me through maybe an article comes out in the news. You know, this has happened for a lot of people, you know, that something was stopped. And you recognize that's the same time I was praying. Hallelujah. He'll show you. He'll encourage you in it.
Maybe you're listening and say, well, I can't start one at my church. Well, you can start one at your house. Now, you know, we're not going to damage what's going on in the church. We're going to work with that. What I'm saying is you got one or two friends that you can just call over to the house and say, hey, let's just pray in tongues for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to try and be a marathon runner day one. But one thing to maybe set as a goal, a measurable goal, I asked a significant leader in the body of Christ this recently. Tell me, just practically speaking, what is one thing I'm looking for? Like, you know, because the idea is we're just not accumulating prayers. We're maturing the intercessors. So it's like, well, what's one thing we're looking for here? And he just simply said, praying in tongues for 1 hour with no distractions. That is something to look for, something to work towards, to press towards. And maybe you don't start out there, but listen, the goal is get your spirit man developed. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, friend, we thank you so much for being here. Brennan, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Hey, it was great.
I believe strategy has gone forth.
Hallelujah.
I believe people have been motivated in the spirit.
Yeah.
And this is going to help them turn their city upside down.
Absolutely.
Listen, if you've got any other questions, hey, reach out to us. Call us 870-741-9099. You got any questions on prayer, reach out to us. Leave a message. We'll get back to you. Get a hold of Brother Hagin's book, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. You can go to rhema.org and buy it there. Of course, it's on Amazon. Get a hold of that. Build your understanding and the knowledge of who you are as a spirit man. And lastly, I want to encourage you to get off the couch, my friend, and get in the game. Stay up with Jesus. How are you going to keep up with the head of the church? You're going to keep up with him in prayer. Get that in your spirit. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. Grace for this city, helping you turn your city upside down. Until next time, my friend, be blessed.